Yes, Easter Sunday, a time in which the faithful will pray, will give thanks, a time when many of us exchange chocolates, gather with our families, go camping on a long weekend. There's also goddesses, rabbits, and eggs in the mix.
Every year, on the day when light and dark are equal, the animals of Easterland gather and celebrate the promise of the rebirth of Earth. One of my favorite friends is a small rabbit called Harry Haas. One day, while foraging for food, Harry finds an egg, a very tasty and much-needed feast for Harry, who only lives on dry grass most of the time. Harry took it home and decorated it in the colors of spring woods and offered it to me as a gift, fitting for the goddess of spring.
Ha! That is the story of Yostra, the goddess of spring in pagan mythology, closely related to the Easter Bunny, the rabbit honoured there for giving up that egg in self-sacrifice. Sound familiar? There's definitely more to the origins of what we know and recognise as Easter. Yes, what we know traditionally, that tale of death, of giving, of resurrection. But was the creation of Easter an exclusively Christian affair, or have other cultural and religious traditions in the mix become part of what we associate with this Christian festival of Easter? Let's find out. Professor Carol Cusack joins us. She's from the Department of Studies in Religion at the University of Sydney, and the Right Reverend Professor Stephen Pickard with us too, Executive Director of the Australian Centre for Christianity and Culture, Professor of Theology at Charles Sturt University. Stephen, can I begin with you? Easter, celebrated by Christians, of course, around the world, but what are the common themes in what's a very elaborate sequence of events within the Christian calendar?
Oh, hi, Jonathan. It is a very elaborate sequence. You're absolutely right. As I was reflecting on this season, I thought about the density of it. Maundy Thursday, we remember the institution of the Last Supper and the foot washing. Good Friday and remembering the Christ who died on the cross. Holy Saturday, which is the place of nothingness, and then the celebration of Resurrection Day on Sunday. So There is the season of Easter in the Christian tradition, celebrated by perhaps 2.3 billion people throughout the globe, is in fact a very full and rich season. And actually, from the earliest days, it was even before Christmas, the most significant celebration in the Christian calendar.
Let's go back to those earliest days. Because how has that season developed over the history of the Christian period over those 2,000 years?
Well, the key thing and the most significant thing is the linkage in the early Christian communities between the Jewish Passover and Christ, who was seen as the new Passover lamb, so to speak, and the abiding sense that it was the resurrection of Christ is linked to the first day of the week. Something new and unexpected has happened in the world. So You find it even in the early texts. The one that is my favourite story is in Luke's Gospel and the Emmaus Road story, where you get the two disheartened disciples walking along the road after the death of Christ, and they're sort of so downcast about the fact that they had hoped and that he would be rising from the dead on the third day. And next thing you know, the risen Christ comes alongside them. They don't recognize him. They go into their house at Emmaus, and as they break bread, he breaks bread with them, he disappears from their sight, and they realize that this is the very one they'd hoped for. Now, that's embedded in the final chapters of Luke's Gospel, right at the very beginning. So clearly, within the first couple of decades of the Christian church beginning, they reflected back on those early stories. So you find intimations of this prefiguring of the celebration of Easter and breaking of the bread and celebration, even in those early gospel accounts.
And none of the gospels, of course, mention chocolate, which is something of an
oversight. No, they don't. Isn't that a shame?
Carol, to bring you in here, this is something that you've studied and written about, the pagan origins of the festival at this time of year. And this is the tremendous complexity and multi-layers. in all of these things. Tell us about the Anglo-Saxon goddess Yostra and the relation she has to the Christian celebration we're so familiar with.
Well, I think the first thing to start with is that Easter and Christmas are the two principal Christian festivals, but just because they're celebrated on a particular date doesn't necessarily mean that they're the only thing that happens on that date. And Stephen's already drawn attention to Passover, the Jewish feast, which is very much linked to the early church's ideas about the celebration of Easter. And so, for example, if you look at most of the European languages, the word for the festival actually comes from the word for Passover in Hebrew, which is Pesach. So, for example, in Greek Orthodoxy, it's called Pascha. In Italian, it's called Pasqua. In Denmark, it's called Pascha. But the interesting thing is that in English and in German, it doesn't have a name derived from Passover or Pesach, but it has a name derived from a goddess who in Anglo-Saxon is called Yostra and who in German is called Ostara. So Easter is called Ostern in German. And I think this is it's evidence of a kind of shift from a Mediterranean environment up to the north of Europe, where what's tremendously important at this time of year, of course, is the spring equinox, that period which was described in the little story that was read there about the point where the light and the dark halves of the day are perfectly equal.
What sense do we have, Carol, of the two traditions overlapping and intermingling of the Christian notion of the resurrection and of Easter is not necessarily a thing related to date, and taking that story and that tradition and placing it into a pre-existing festival time makes a certain amount of sense. But how did that process unfold?
Well, I think that there are probably three ways that you can link what we might call folk culture, which isn't explicitly part of Christianity but nevertheless gets connected with Christianity, when we're thinking about Easter. For Christians, there's a season before the events of Holy Week called Lent, which is a season of repentance and of giving up and being ascetic in terms of pursuing faith and denying oneself. And then that comes to an end with the joyous celebration of Jesus's victory over death. If you think about just the practical Northern European winter and how that is a period of privation and of limited foodstuffs, pickled and smoked food mostly, and the way in which the coming of spring ushers in new life, you can see an immediate kind of parallel there that works very well.
There's a wonderful resonance in all this, isn't there, Stephen, this overlapping, this cultural richness?
I think it's the most natural thing in the world, and it shouldn't be surprising for us. And Christians have no need to be concerned about this. I mean, the very nature of the Christian thing, the good news, is always something that's sought to enculturate itself wherever it's gone throughout the globe. So you find this wonderful connectedness, sifting, creativity that is part of the embedding of faith within local cultures. So the nature religions of Northern Europe and the religious traditions that were pre-existent from Christianity in the middle Mediterranean world, they're all sort of picked up, if you like, and are the host cultures and religious traditions in which this new and startling and surprising proclamation takes place. So you find it's quite mixed. I often wonder what, for example, the early church, if there was a congregation from the early church in the Mediterranean that all of a sudden was teletransported into the 21st century and went to some of the celebrations of Easter Day at the Orthodox Church in the world, or the Catholic Mass, or Anglican or Protestant Church, or Pentecostalism. They would absolutely think, what have we come to here? but if they looked carefully enough and listened carefully enough, they would find some red threads, if you like, that have run through that 2,000 years. But they will have very different cultural frameworks roots and traditions which impact on it and kind of assimilate in some ways.
And I guess the greater richness too is that that would be true of all people, even pre-Christian peoples would find that sense of resonance and connection. It's a potent time of year. Thank you to both, Right Reverend Professor Stephen Pickard, Professor of Theology at Charles Sturt University, and Professor Carol Cusack from the Department of Studies in Religion at the University of Sydney. A discussion there on the roots of this celebration. We mark the culmination on this Easter Sunday.